The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you've heard it. The Lions have made a move, adding a pass rusher. It's Za'Darius Smith. Only gave up a fifth and a future sixth for Smith and a future seventh. What they're getting, John, they're getting a guy who is rushing the passer effectively this season. 27 pressures. It's top 25 in the league. He has 5 sacks on the season. That's more than double any player on the Lions defense. Mm-hmm. I'm sure people will say he's not Aiden, and we acknowledge he's not Aiden. He's not Max Crosby. He's not Miles Garrett. What he is a clear upgrade. It's clear that Brad Holmes understands what's at stake this season. To me, this is him countering what Kansas City did. Kansas City traded for 32-year-old DeAndre Hopkins, gave up a day 3 pick. Brad Holmes adds a 32-year-old pass rusher. Best days are probably behind him, but still enough left in the tank. Gave up a day 3 pick to upgrade.
And it doesn't just add the ability to apply pressure. Now, it's one thing of applying pressure, another thing of getting home. And right now, neither are happening for the Detroit Lions from the edge position. But how much better does it make Alim McNeil? Or more, not better, but more effective. How much more effective does it make Reader, Onwuzurike, all of the guys inside that have played really good? And what was the one thing against Green Bay, other than the pressure, that was a little bit concerning when the defense was on the field? It was allowing so many yards on the ground rushing the football. This helps in that area as well, because now what are you going to attack? And you can't just simply attack one side. If you're going to run away from Za'Darius Smith, and I don't think he's that big of a threat that you're going to game plan around him. But if you have him, you've got Ali McNeil, DJ Reader, and even if you put Onwuzurike on the other side, we've seen him do that. Now you've got a formidable front to run the ball against.
He's a guy who grades well against the run and the pass. He's an every down guy. People, we wanted to see them do something.
Yeah.
And they still may do more. Like, no one's going to be in the camp of, this is, they don't need to do anything else.
Take the rest of the day off.
There's still more moves that they could make. And I would love the idea that they get a couple guys. If they're not going to chase a star and give up multiple firsts, that they'd get a couple guys that they could use as a bullpen of pass rushers.
What's the likelihood of that?
That they make another move?
Yeah. I'm
not trying to set Brad Holmes up to be criticized. He did something. I'm just always going to look at it and say there's still time on the clock. There's still more moves you can make.
Is this a situation where, okay, he leaves his phone on loud and other teams are actually calling because the Giants want to unload Ojulari? Or somebody else wants to make a trade with the Lions. They're not forced to make any other trades. But now you're the team that people are looking to. If we want draft picks, all right, Brad Holmes has shown he's in the market.
Yep.
I mean, I would think it would be highly unlikely. I think they had to make a move for depth reasons. I think they got the ceiling guy in a realistic world. I threw out there earlier, would you throw that seventh back to Miami for Calais Campbell? And if that were to come up, I personally would. But Brett Holmes is very good at his job, and if he doesn't do that, I'm not going to say that. I don't think they need to do anything else for sure.
He's mostly an interior guy.
Right. I would like them to. I think they've got some depth issues. If Kaminsky doesn't come back, if Hutch doesn't come back.
Yeah, they got depth issues on the edge, not inside.
I think, look, you can get better. You can, sure. Adding a guy like him, he's a true rental. You're throwing a seventh-round pick. Seventh-round picks aren't going to be making this roster soon because this roster is so good.
Right.
But if he doesn't do it, there's going to be zero criticism.
Right.
I'm not saying they have to, John. I'm just saying, look, if you're trying to – he would fit in a locker room. He's one of the most well-respected guys in the game right now.
Sure.
And he doesn't have to play a ton. He's coming to a better situation. He could get that ring and, you know, go – that would be it. It would – But they don't have to do it.
Now, to me, the more appealing piece would be Azeez Ojulari, just in the sense that while he is more one-dimensional, he's got 7 sacks this year. He's young. There's a chance that you unlock another gear. And with him being an expiring player and the Giants being a 2-win football team, I'm not saying that they have to trade him, but it does open up at least the conversation where you would say, hey, we're going to bring in 2 guys who are top 25 in sacks right now in football, knowing it's going to be harder, right? You're not going to have Myles Garrett opposite Za'Darius Smith to help him out and get him one-on-ones. You're not going to have Dexter Lawrence eating up blocks in the middle to help ISO Azeez Ojulari, but there are guys with traits to win one-on-one that you don't have on the roster right now. I would rather get an edge guy, a true speed edge guy, than an interior player because they already have a glut of interior guys.
They do, and that's why I mean, I'm not going to hate it if they go for Calais Campbell. I'm not going to hate it. I just don't know that that's one that I would even waste time calling on unless they – that's why I say maybe now Miami's calling them. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm a little concerned about the Lions' run defense the last couple of weeks.
Well, that's why I talked about that's why Za'Darius Smith is the good two-way player.
Right. So, obviously, like I said, I don't think they need to make that deal, but at the same time, I think you're just making this to a point where if you lose somebody like a McNeil or something along the way, then you got something that you can trust to plug in there.
Sure.
Is that speculation? Yeah, but I'd rather have him than Broderick Martin. You know, I mean, seriously.
Yeah, but they have 3 interior guys. Not that, you know, if you lose one, you're going to expect both guys to play every single snap.
And I just think that's a hard way of looking at it. Like, well, what if a safety gets hurt? I guess they should trade for one today. What if a corner gets hurt? I guess they should trade for one today. What if a tackle gets hurt? They better have another one ready, or a receiver. Like,
any concerns just in general, though, about the line right now with Pascal and also Onwuzurike? You know, the sample size is that he gets hurt.
Yes. That is a concern. It's always going to be a concern. I mean, it didn't seem to raise red flags when they signed Marcus Davenport.
I mean, in terms of making anything more splashier, I would be shocked.
No, I don't think more splashy, but like an Uche type of trade, right? Kansas City gave up a 6th-round pick in 26 for Uche. Could the Lions package 2 7th-round picks together, the one they got plus their own, and get a player similar? I think that's the type of move I'd say to bookend with a Za'Darius if they do anything else. I think it's pretty well established they're not going after Max Crosby or Myles Garrett, or Trey Hendrickson.
Well, I think the question here is, I don't think they would give up any more than a 7th to add anything at this point. I would be pretty surprised to see Holmes give up more significant capital.
So what do they have? They have their own 1st, their own 2nd, their own 4th. They just gave up their 5th. They still have a 6th and a 7th, plus future picks.
I mean, could you get Ojulari for a 7th?
I don't think so.
What about a 6th?
Right. I mean, so you could give up a 6th, and again, would you be willing to do that?
Probably. Yeah. I don't know if Brad Holmes would, though.
I don't know what he thinks of Ojulari.
The other thing, too, here is there's absolutely zero smoke out there about anything else. There was a lot of smoke with Smith the last few days.
But was that smoke cover enough to where, I mean, because I mentioned Brad Holmes can do 2 things at one time. He can talk about adding Za'Darius Smith along with have conversations about other players, knowing that this is the first domino that he needed to fall. And now he knows what he has, knows what he's getting in return, and can now turn around and use whether it's the 7th that they're getting back or their current draft capital to move on a player like Ojulari.
Let's get some phone calls in the mix. Mike in Pontiac, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good morning.
So this feels a little bit like when Chase Young got traded for a third rounder, and we were all like, really, that's it? That's all it took? And I feel like on the national side, we're going to get a lot of that for this guy. But that leaves a whole lot of capital to make a splash move. So I'm a little confused as to why we aren't cheering and calling for more of a, not just, you know, another depth piece, but why can't we make more of a bigger move? I understand it's out of character, but if ever there was a time to do it, this is the team to do it for, don't you think?
Oh, you're not going to have to twist my arm, but like, Mike, who is it? Just give me a name and what's the price?
I mean, the Browns are clearly on a fire sale if we're willing to get him for a basically a sixth round if we're winning the Super Bowl. Float out, hey, give us a bulk discount. Miles Garrett, I got some stuff for you. Like, I don't see why that's out of the realm of possibility.
Because I don't think that Cleveland is even considering moving Miles Garrett.
They have a Hall of Fame defensive end that they don't want to move for anything outside of a King's ransom.
They also wanted a good three-day pick. I wouldn't call this a good three-day pick. This is
right,
but
I think you're more willing to budge on 32-year-old Za'Darius Smith than you are franchise player Miles Garrett. I think there are certain guys that you give in and you budge at the deadline. Garrett's going to be one that they could hold out for the moon and just never trade him.
So don't you throw out a good quality, hey, I'll give you your first, and I'll throw in that seven or some crazy thing, make them say no.
And then they hang up the phone. And I bet you that, you don't think, I mean.
Fine, but you at least put it out there.
Well, okay, I would imagine it came up when they were talking Za'Darius Smith.
I mean, sources have said that they called about Max Crosby. If they called about Max Crosby, I got to believe that the other is true, that they called about, about Cleveland and not just Za'Darius Smith, but Miles Garrett as well.
Sure. This just feels like we have a lot more room to make some moves.
And I would agree with that.
That has been an issue. We got a lot of season to go. We got to make sure we got bodies.
Mike, no issue with that. Appreciate the phone call. We got a bunch more to talk about. Lions fans, your reaction to the Za'Darius Smith trade. It's 97.1.
I've been talking about injury attorney David Femenino for some time. Just listen to some of the results that David and his team have been able to get for injured clients. $3.5 million for one, $5 million for another, $11.5 million for an individual client. That's a great result. You need an attorney that will fight relentlessly for you as well. And you can call and speak to David right now by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
Okay, so just perusing social media, taking phone calls, reading ticket text, I this is the consensus as I see it. Good move by Brad Holmes, but don't stop. We still got till 4 o'clock. You still have your fourth round pick in this year's draft. You could still make a move with this year's sixth or seventh and package some stuff together to pair with Za'Darius Smith. But the deal in and of itself, John, is a good move. It's a guy who gets to the quarterback. He's responsible against the run. He's a former Pro Bowler, still with something left in the tank. He's a vet that's played in 8 different playoff games. He is a piece. He's here to chase the Super Bowl. And for Brad Holmes, he was able to get him for a 5th-round pick effectively. That's really all it took. What happens now? And I do think this is a fun back and forth, the arms race with Kansas City. They add Hopkins. He catches 2 touchdowns yesterday. You add Za'Darius Smith. These are former Pro Bowlers. Mm-hmm. In the twilight of their career, chasing a championship. They needed a receiver. Lions needed a pass rusher. The arms race is on.
Well, and I love it that he is familiar with the division, having spent 3 years in Green Bay, a year in Minnesota, and now, obviously, this is his second year in Cleveland. He's got the pedigree of 13.5 sacks, 12.5, 10, all in some years. Last year, a little bit down with 5.5. And now all of a sudden through, 9 games that he's played, he's got 5 sacks.
Yep.
So I don't necessarily know that I expect him to actually reach double digits this year, but that's not really the expectation. The expectation is he is going to add to his sack total, but it's the added pressure that he applies. It's being uncomfortable in the pocket and being able to, even if it's just, hey, you need to win on the outside so that we keep Mahomes in the Super Bowl in the pocket.
27 pressures this season. It's 23rd among all edge players. Listen, he's not going to have Miles Garrett on the opposite side of the line of scrimmage. So do I think he's going to double up his sack total and get to 10, 11, 12? No, but John, you're right. Can he come up with a key sack? Can he apply pressure consistently? He's an upgrade over the practice squad guys they were playing regardless, and this is a move that they had to make. Right? I mean, they could win a Super Bowl without doing anything, but if they were serious about winning a Super Bowl, they had to do something. They had to give themselves the best chance to win the Lombardi Trophy.
Yeah, and we'll find out this weekend in Houston, a mobile quarterback. And it probably going to get Nico Collins back, as Dan said.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden, you'll find, can you apply pressure? They're a team that's given up some pressures. You know, in against the Bears and the Packers. You still have a lot of division games. And goal number one is to win your division. Can he help you do that? Yes. Goal number two is to solidify the number one seed. Can he help you do that? So it's the here and now. Yes, we want to win a Super Bowl, and we want to have a guy that can help, whether it's Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, insert any other quarterback. You want to have that availability, but it's simply making sure that you take care of the task at hand. Task at hand, win the division. Get that number one seed.
Let's get to the phones. We've got Kevin in Yale. You're on 97.1. Kevin, what's up?
Hey, guys.
Good morning.
Morning. So I was just thinking, what if we, I don't know, maybe take a first and a fourth, or maybe even two firsts, and like a James Houston, and try and go after Micah Parsons, as he's on like a failing Dallas team right now with their quarterback going down and CeeDee Lamb maybe being injured?
Well, I think that's the here and now for them. First of all, I'm not sure that Jerry Jones picks up a phone from Brad Holmes. He might be that spiteful.
I kind of get that, yeah.
Yeah, but
you ruined my birthday.
I mean, they're if they make, and I think we all believe they're going to make a change at the head coaching position at the end of the year. What does that leave them for next year? I mean, they just signed Dak to a long-term deal.
Yeah, they don't want to rebuild,
and right, and same with CeeDee Lamb.
And Jerry Jones loves star players.
Oh yeah.
Jerry Jones is, I would find it very hard to believe he would look to trade Micah Parsons. And I actually don't think a 1-4 would even really get it going for them.
Well, does Jerry want to enter rebuild mode?
What was that, Kevin?
I don't know if he's in a rebuild mode, but I don't know. Maybe two ones. Maybe in two ones. We're talking about giving up multiple ones for a Max Crosby or a Myles Garrett. Why not a Micah Parsons?
Jerry Jones at 82 years old, John, to your point, probably not in the appetite for a rebuild.
No.
E in Clinton Township, you're on 97.1.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up?
I think we should re-sign. Now that we got Smith here, we re-sign him, give him a little contract. We go rent Chase Young from New Orleans. So we got Aiden Hutchinson coming back next year. So we go rent Chase Young for the remainder of this season. He fall off the books because he's falling off New Orleans books at the end of the season anyway. And then we have Aiden next year on Smith on the other side. That's a dynasty waiting to happen on the defensive line.
Yeah, Za'Darius is signed this year and next year, so there's no extension necessary.
No.
He could be part of this with Aiden next season. Chase Young, I know that was the name last year.
Yeah, Montez Sweat, Chase Young, coming from Washington.
The knock on Chase Young was what? The effort comes and goes. It wanes. I mean, he still made big plays for San Francisco at the right price, John. I mean, they add as many pass rushers as you can get.
Sure. So what do you call New Orleans with? A seventh? The seventh that you got?
Yeah. No, you're right.
I wouldn't give any more than a seventh for Chase Young for what he's been and what he is right now.
My point is the highest offer you can go with for rentals would be a four. And you're right. If you only paid a five for Za'Darius, you're probably not giving up a four for Chase Young. So I guess it's a sixth. And they probably don't do that. So
no. I mean, Chase is only on a one-year deal down there. So
yes.
He's on an expiring contract. Maybe they just want to recoup some costs. They fired their coach. They're going nowhere. Lost,
sure.
What, five in a row?
Yeah, maybe it is a sixth.
Sixth or a seventh.
Yeah, I don't want to
maybe kick the tires on that. I'm just not sure that he fits with this team.
We've got Dan Campbell coming up at 9:30. Let's get to Heather's news.
Well, restoration of the historic Belle Isle Boathouse is progressing as the Michigan Department of Natural Resources has selected a proposal after years of debate. So this proposal is called the Belle Isle Gateway. It's a $30 to $35 million public-private plan that would turn this boathouse into basically a year-round community hub. And there would be lots of new amenities, including a new public marina, several new dining options, an event space where you could have really anything, but I picture weddings in particular, and then even more. And the drawing makes it look absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. Those renderings are pretty cool.
They are.
No matter what you're looking at.
It looked so nice. It was built in 1902, and there has been debate about just completely demolishing it, yeah. Right? Tearing it all down. So I hate to see historic buildings with so much character and history just demolished. So it could be cool if this plan moves forward, for sure. We discussed this earlier in the show, but the price of Super Bowl tickets has kind of been released. Oh, yeah. And if the Lions do head to the Super Bowl, tickets to go will not be cheap. But probably your cheapest time to buy them would be now. Plan ahead. So right now, two tickets together are going for as little as $5,347 each. That's on StubHub.
Right, and that's a corner end zone.
Yeah, oh, yeah. These are not great seats by any means. And then if you go to SeatGeek, switch over somewhere else, the lowest price for a ticket is $5,837.
And that's not including fees, I
imagine.
Oh,
no, I'm guessing not. And, of course, that's not including getting there and staying there and
eating
and drinking and,
some swag.
Partaking in the fun.
Yeah.
So you talked about they're the worst seats in the house. And so,
well, they may not be the worst. But
just about.
But they're not great.
Arguably. That's what we did in Cleveland when we went to the playoff game. It didn't matter where we were sitting is my point. Like, I wouldn't want to get better seats.
You just want to be in the building?
Get in the building. I'm not paying this, by the way. I'm not trying to say I'm going. Yeah. This is ludicrous.
But we did talk about it.
Planting the seeds in case your wife's listening.
Uh-huh. If you buy now and you believe the Lions are going to the Super Bowl, you're getting the deal. If they don't make it to the Super Bowl, you can still sell those tickets to a Bills fan or a Chiefs fan looking for a three-peat or a Ravens fan that finally gets there.
That's how it would be sold to me from Colin. Be like, you know what? This is an investment, right? I'll buy these now and then I can sell them for even more later. And I'll be like, oh, yeah, I like that. And then by the time it rolls around, he's like, you know what? I'm just going to use these.
How is that any different from the $500 jacket that, it's on sale for $200. Look, we're saving $300.
Because 500 and 5,000 are very, very, very different.
And then there's man's math.
I know, and I get it.
You guys have to get the seats in the front row, too, so he can see. I mean, so it's even more expensive.
Because he's too short to see.
Or does it come with a booster?
He can see a monitor then.
A booster, yeah. What's so crazy, though, is the average fan who's been a lifelong Lions fan cannot actually go enjoy this moment, which totally sucks.
But it's been that way for many years.
I know it has,
but it's just affecting us now.
Yeah, I know, right there. This is pretty cool. A guy in Canada just got his class ring back 47 years after losing it in the ocean in Barbados.
Oh.
He was there on a vacation. He was playing with his kids at the time. Ring fell off, right? Thought, never see this again. Well, there was a guy diving with a metal detector and found it. Got in touch with the guy's school. They tracked him down, and he just got it in the mail the day before his 83rd birthday. Huh.
That's cool.
So cool. Because it's just, what are the chances of you coming across a ring in the ocean and finding the person it belongs to? Finally, I got to say, today is election day. Obviously, we know polls are officially open. They opened at 7, go till 8 p.m., all you have to do is be in line by 8 p.m. and you'll be able to vote. Yep. So get out there. I do have, I'm going to skip these facts. I have a question for you because I know we all participated in the early voting. Yep. Not going to ask you who you voted for, but I want to know which sticker did you choose? Did you get one of those cool stickers designed by kids?
Oh, no, I did see those. No. There's the OPE I voted.
Yeah, so I was curious which one. I sat there for quite a while, and I looked at all of them before I made my choice.
Oh, really? Oh, no, I wanted to get out of there. So I just took the one that I take every time. It says, it's got the American flag. It said, I voted.
Oh, that's lame.
It's lame.
I got the I voted early.
Because it was made by kids. kids.
Yeah, I saw those too.
They were so cute.
I'll go home and have Tenny draw me a picture.
I thought for sure you would have chose the one that had like the, like, I don't know if it was like a, what kind of animal or a person it was like ripping.
I didn't even look.
Johnson doesn't care about kids.
I chose the lighthouse one. Not anybody else's.
Oh, okay.
It was very colorful and it matched the shirt I was wearing. Yeah.
Not the werewolf one?
That's the one I was describing. That was like, yeah. Yeah. Ripping his shirt off or something.
Does it shock anybody that I would pick the traditional?
No, it doesn't.
But
yeah. But I'm still lame.
I was just curious.
Yeah. No, I'm not lame. You're lame.
Heather with the news. Go out and vote, people. Representative democracy, you got to represent. Go out and vote for what you want. It's 97.1.
Hey, fall into family fun this season with the YMCA of Metro Detroit. From youth basketball to gymnastics and swimming, the Y's fall programs are perfect for keeping kids active, building skills, and making friends. And for the adults, there's group exercise classes, less meals, and free child watch while you work out, all for a membership of less than $3 a day. Don't miss out. Visit ymcadetroit.org or your nearest YMCA to learn more and try the Y for free. Fall into family fun today at the Y.
Countdown is on. We've got the trade deadline today at 4 o'clock. You got the college football playoff rankings coming out tonight. This whole election thing. And the Central Michigan Chippewas playing a football game against Bowling Green. Only the best. John Za'Darius Smith, the big trade. We've been talking about it for basically second half of the show here since the news broke. And I think something we haven't really mentioned here is when you trade for a pass rusher, kind of plug and play, right? I mean, there's some twists and there's some stunts, but in terms of dropping a guy in and saying, go beat the guy across from you, expectation is this guy can make a difference sooner rather than later.
Well, and it's what type of assets does the player bring to the defense? Okay, we've seen Aiden Hutchinson drop into coverage. He's had interceptions. Za'Darius Smith is not going to do that. So it removes that part of the playbook for him. It is simply, okay, here's what we're doing on the basics of it. Here's what we're doing first, second, third down. These are the concepts. He's played long enough. He's been in a number of different defenses. He understands the concepts. He's going to pick them up quicker. And then, you know, in terms of games, you know, whether it's a TE stunt or an ET stunt, right? It who's going first? All of those things can be discussed. Like, there's no secret. And so they can be discussed on the field. You have your calls, you have all those things, and it's more when they have, like when you're playing C.J. Stroud, this is where I think it could become important. You have rush lanes. You have a rush plan. How do you implement that plan knowing that, hey, I have to stay outside. I've got to stay in the C-gap or the D-gap. And Aleem McNeil, they're going to run a game inside, and he's going to have the B. DJ Reader has the A. Levi Onwuzurike or Pascal is coming on the other side. Like you, those are where you want to make sure that you have your rush plan married up with the team's rush plan, so you don't leave a big gap.
Right, because then you get yourself in trouble, and those were the big plays end up biting you. I think this will be the biggest name they add. It doesn't mean it's the only name they add. Like, I don't think they're going to add a pass rusher bigger than Za'Darius Smith, but they could still target someone for depth before 4 o'clock. That's kind of what I'm looking forward to seeing between now and the deadline. You don't seem optimistic that they're going to make another move, but it's something I'm keeping an eye on. And you agree that Za'Darius Smith is the biggest name they'll add.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident that's the biggest name they'll add. They may add a complimentary piece. And if they don't, doesn't mean they're done adding. They could pull off of other practice squads.
Sure.
And so
less exciting, but yes.
Well, sure, less exciting. No question about it. But is there somebody that Brad Holmes evaluated coming out of school that is on somebody else's practice squad? It could have been a draft pick that just didn't make the roster. Now they're on somebody's practice squad or an undrafted guy. And maybe you're just looking for a quote-unquote third down specialist. And you know, somebody that could be more productive than the James Houston that we've seen.
Some ticket text, 248-539-9797. Texter says, TJ Lang said Green Bay really wants Azeez Ojulari. Yeah, we were talking to him yesterday about it. That's a name that's still out there, right? The Giants are a 2-7 football team. He's a pending free agent. They could elect to let him walk and maybe get a comp pick if he ends up putting together a good enough season. He's got 7 sacks, but he's more of a one-trick pony. He's a pure speed rusher, right? He's going to be a pure
pass rush guy. He's not going to be a guy you put in on early downs to stop the run. I can't imagine the Lions would have to give up an arm and a leg to get him. He'd be a nice compliment to add to the Za'Darius Smith move they've already made today.
Yeah. And I also think when we're talking about Za'Darius Smith, and even if it's Azeez Ojulari, they're coming from teams that are playing from behind. All right, so what does that mean? Their pass rush opportunities are much less. They're not pinning their ears back. They're the teams, they get into the second half, they're slowing the game down, they're running the ball more, they're not putting it at harm's risk. And maybe you're talking about 6-7 less pass rushes per game. So then you look at the numbers and you say, okay, well, maybe these numbers actually look a little bit better because the Browns have been horrific and they've always been playing from behind.
Texter says, keep an eye on Jadeveon Clowney today with the Panthers. Don't think he would cost a ton of capital. John, what was the response to the caller who wanted Micah Parsons?
Oh, let me see. Here it is. Lions fan logic. We'll trade you our crap for your best player. So we'll throw in a first round pick. And how about James Houston for Micah Parsons? Because you're going to need somebody on your roster too.
It's deadline day, baby. Yeah. That's how this thing goes.
Yeah, it's the fun of being a fan. You don't have to have logic.
No.
Fan logic.
No, fan logic's different logic. Ticket Texter says, on the subject of ridiculous trades, 3 first round picks and a second and Gibbs for Micah Parsons, signed Tannenbaum joke.
Yeah, and you wonder why he's unemployed.
He said it.